Yes, amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning, and what a blessing it has been just being in church today. I trust that you pray, but I know I pray all week long that God would use this service and this church as a place of refuge, and not only for our membership, but for all who would come through the doors of this Lighthouse Baptist Church, that you would first and foremost sense the presence of God in this place. And if you haven't sensed the presence of God in this place today, then there's something wrong with your sensor, amen? And what a blessing it has been just through the congregational singing and the choir and the specials. It's just been a blessing, so praise the Lord for it. If you have your Bibles with you today, if you look with me to the book of John in chapter 4. John in chapter 4, and a very familiar passage of Scripture to most, as Jesus will address the woman at the well. And this is our Faith Promise Missions Month, and understanding just missions and what God would have us to do with reaching the lost. So if you would, go ahead and stand with me. We're going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 15. John chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. The Bible says, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, and near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you, thank you, Lord God, for what we've already experienced in this place this morning. But now, Father, as we have opened up your eternal word, we've read this passage of Scripture, and we're looking into this entire chapter. I pray, God, that you would just open up the hearts and the minds of all that are here to receive the message that you have for them through this passage of Scripture. I pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. John writes in verse 4, and he, being the Lord Jesus Christ, must needs go through Samaria. A must needs go through Samaria. The must here refers to a plan for life. Was not necessarily speaking of the road, and it was the only road because there could have been other roads, there could have been other ways of getting to where he was going, but this refers to a plan for life. As we look to the Lord Jesus Christ and we study the Scriptures, we know that Jesus had a schedule, if you will, to follow. God had a plan for his entire life on earth. If you look in verse 34, Jesus saith unto them, his disciples, after all this, they didn't quite understand what was taking place. And Jesus says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. There was a work that Jesus came to accomplish. And he was going to finish that work. God had a plan, if you will, a schedule for his entire life. You see, from the very fall of Adam, as we look back into the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, when Adam sinned, that sin fell upon all humanity. We are all born with a sin nature because of Adam's sin. And when that took place, when that occurred, God's message was the Messiah or Savior or the Christ is coming. In the whole Old Testament, God's chosen people, Israel, looked for the coming of the Christ, looked for the coming of the Savior that God would send. After 33 years of his presence on this earth and his ascension back into heaven, God's message since that time has been, get ready, because Christ will come again. The resurrected Savior will come as you see him go. His great commission that he left the church would be to take this gospel message into all the world. That Jesus paid a sin debt that humanity owed, ascended back to heaven, and is coming again. While here on this planet Earth for those 33 years, Jesus had a must list. Study the scriptures, you'll find much about this, but if you look back with me to the book of Luke in chapter 2, he had things that he was to accomplish. He came with a purpose and view. He came understanding that God, what God's will would be. In Luke in chapter 2 and verse 49, even as a 12-year-old boy, as this is the first glance at Jesus as a young person, the Bible says in verse 49, as his parents had lost him and then they come back, they found him and they didn't know what was going on. And he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wish you not. Don't you remember who I am? Do you remember how I was conceived? Do you remember what the angel said about me in the very beginning? He said, wish you not that I must be about my Father's business. You see, from the very beginning, Jesus came with a plan in view. He knew what his purpose on this earth was all about. He knew that he was the only begotten Son of God. He was God who had been manifested in the flesh. And therefore, every step he would take and every word that he would speak on planet Earth had a purpose in view. God had a plan for every aspect of the life of Jesus Christ as he was born in that manger, as he was raised, and then as about the age of 30 began this public life that is recorded more in the scriptures. A must be about my Father's business. Look on over to Luke in chapter 4. Luke in chapter 4 and verse 43. The Bible says in Luke in chapter 4, Jesus addressing those around him, and he said unto them, I must. This was a plan for life. I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. One of the things that Jesus came to do is preach the very words of God. He would begin his preaching ministry with repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then he would teach them all things. He would call his 12 apostles, and in doing that, he would then start preparing them to take over as he would ascend up to heaven. He would establish his church on this earth. And as he would establish, he would have prepared his apostles during the apostolic age to move this forward. To understand it's his church, but he would leave them with directions. He would leave them with his word that would help them to know exactly what they were to do. He came as the Son of God. He came with a purpose in mind, and that was to do the will of the Father. He came to preach the very truths that humanity would need, especially for this New Testament church age. He came and fulfilled the Old Testament. And with fulfilling the Old Testament, gave instructions for the age that you and I live in today. Luke in chapter 9 and verse 22, a must list, if you will. These were things that he knew that he was going to accomplish while he was here. For 33 years, God walked in the flesh on planet Earth. Luke in chapter 9 and verse 22, Jesus addressing again Peter and the apostles, and he says, saying, the Son of Man must. Jesus was the Son of God and also the Son of Man in that he took on human flesh. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. He would instruct his disciples and he would preach to them that he would go to the cross. They didn't quite understand it. They still believed as the Old Testament Messiah, something that was a mystery in the Old Testament. They thought that the Messiah would come and lead them to the kingdom age. They did not have the insight into this New Testament church age that would take place before the kingdom age. And he told them as he was instructing them, and afterwards they would look back on what he had taught them and they would all come together for them and they would fully understand this New Testament church age where he came to be a sacrificial lamb, where he came to be rejected of man. He came to be that sacrifice on Calvary's cross to pay a sin debt that we all, humanity, owes and could not pay. And then to prove to us that he is the Son of God and that there is a resurrection. On the third day, he resurrected from the grave. And he would instruct them and let them know that he would be at the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession for us. As muchless, he must suffer and yet be raised on the third day. Luke chapter 19. And verse 5, see, every occasion, everything that took place, it's recorded in scriptures, had a purpose and a plan. This was him meeting Zacchaeus. The Bible says in Luke chapter 19 and verse 5, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, Zacchaeus, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. You see, because God had a plan and a purpose, not only for the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, but can I tell you that God has a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us? Yeah. If you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you need to have a must list. God has a plan for your life. If you go back with me to our text this morning in John in chapter 4, in John in chapter 4, the Bible says, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus had made and baptized more disciples than John. It was almost like at a certain event, when a certain point in time, that's what would, whenever it would come to pass, then the next event would take place. When that happened, the Bible says, and he must needs go through Samaria. There was a plan and a purpose for his entire life. It would include this encounter with this Samaritan woman at the well. It has been recorded and preserved so that all of us, everyone born in this New Testament church generation, all of us might learn what this woman would learn. See, while happening, he walked on planet Earth for 33 years, but while he walked here, just a few would acknowledge it. Only a few would be there to hear his teaching. Only a few would be there to visibly see Christ and see him on the cross and then see him above 500 at one time, saw the resurrected Savior, the Bible says. But while it was happening, some 2,000 years ago, only a few. But after being recorded, and after being preserved by God, billions have had the opportunity to read and to learn. Amen. Ever since that time, when it was recorded and God recorded and then God has preserved it, ever since then, there have been billions of people that have had the opportunity to go to the preserved scriptures and read the accounts and learn what God would have us to learn. Yeah. God would have us to learn what this Samaritan woman learned. Because as not only did they had purpose in Christ's life, God says there's purpose in all of our lives. Chapter 4 and verse 7. Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. He already knew what his strategy of soul winning was going to be here. Amen. He was going to use water as an illustration of what he had for her. But he also knew the hindrances to her that she had. For she was a Samaritan. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. He didn't want them there at this point. Didn't want there to be a hindrance to her. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou being a Jew? She did not think very favorably of the Jews. And rightly, because the Jews did not think very favorably of the Samaritans. There was a lot of biases there against the Samaritans. The Samaritans would have been half Jew and half Gentile. Those Jews that in their minds had left the faith and have joined with an ungodly seed. She would not listen. She would have never listened to their gospel. Understand that. She wasn't looking to listen to him. He was a Jew. The last thing she would have wanted to do is to get a Jew water from the well. She asked drink. Why ask to drink of me, which am I a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans, no interest at all in helping him. And Jesus answered and said to her, if thou knewest the gift of God, put away Jew or Gentile, put away white, black, put away nationality, put away all hindrances to the gospel. For God so loved the world. Yeah. Jesus answered and said to her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him. The first thing that we find out about this woman, she didn't know who Jesus was. And because of the Jews' biases of the Samaritans, she would not have listened. There's a lot of people on planet Earth today that do not know who Jesus is. Can I tell you, there's people in your neighborhood. There's young people in your schools. All of us have family members that truly do not know who Jesus Christ is. They've heard his name. They might have a little bit of religion. This woman had some religion. This woman understood a few things, but she was not ready to receive Christ because of the Jews. Gotta tell you, your family might not want to receive Christ because of your past. Other young people in school might not want to receive Christ because of what they see in some who claim to be saved. Society might not want to hear anything that we have to say because of what they view and how they view Baptists. But it's not about that. Jesus wanted to get this truth across. It's not about race. It's not about biases. It's not about who you are. It's about who he is. She had a little Bible knowledge. She was definitely not saved. Look down to verse 20. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say means the Jews. She looked at him as a Jew and said, you say that in Jerusalem is the place that men ought to worship. So she understood a little bit about it, understood about their God, understood about their place of worship. She knew who they were, but she didn't know the God of the Jews. She surely did not know the Savior. Verse 25. Verse 25, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh. She had a little bit of Bible knowledge. She had been taught Old Testament. She understood a little bit about the Messiah or the Christ or the Savior who would bring in the kingdom in her mind. She knew a little religion, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. She didn't know who Jesus was. Well, Jesus revealed to her who he was and what she needed to do to be saved. Amen. Verse 10, again. If thou knowest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest ask of him, and he would have given thee living water. So he now helps her to see that, put the Jews aside. If you know God, if you're looking to God, and if you understood who I was, you would ask of me. Look at verse 13. Jesus answered and said to her, whoso drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Now he's using the water as an illustration. She's still focused on the water in the well. Now he's trying to get her off of the water in the well to look to everlasting life and everlasting water. Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give. His understanding and his emphasis was not on the Jews. It was not on anybody else bringing the gospel to you. It was on the person of the gospel. It was on the true God and the Savior that he sent to die for them. And so he's putting the emphasis back on himself as being the Son of God, being the Savior of the world. And he says, but whosoever drinketh of this water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. First and foremost, it's not as important to you to realize whether you're going to be Baptist or not. What is most important is for you to realize that you're lost, in need of a Savior, and God loved you enough to send his only begotten Son to die for you. Now, I believe once you get saved and you start understanding the Bible will make you Baptist. Yeah. But that's not, first of all, what people need. They don't need to become Baptist. They don't need to listen to the Jew. They need to focus on who God is. So Jesus revealed to her who he was and what she needed to do to be saved. And the first thing he would tell her is, you would have asked. And if you asked, I would have given it to you. Because whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, whosoever shall be saved. Yeah. He had to bring her to this place of conviction. She still, when she said, the woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. She did not understand it still as of yet. This was not asking for salvation. She still was looking back to the water, said, hey, if there's some water I can have where I'll never thirst again, never have to go back to the well again, I want that. Give me this physical water. She's closer now than what she was before. She's still not saved. What was missing? Her seeing herself as in need of a Savior. No one has ever been saved unless you first of all realize you were lost in need of a Savior. If you go try to help somebody to get saved, you first of all have to get them to the place where they realize they need Jesus as a Savior. Some people have this understanding of wrong mentality. I'm born in a Christian home. I'm saved because I was born to a Christian family. I'm saved because I'm a member of a church. I'm saved because there's a lot of people out there that are a lot worse than I am. But that doesn't matter. When it comes to salvation, that is not the issue. When it comes to salvation, you have to realize that you're a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So Jesus now, in helping this woman, first of all, he acknowledges who he is and what she would have to do once she would see herself in need. But she would have to see herself in need. Verse 15. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not. So now Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. I wonder, now we know why. But she's wondering, why are you calling, want me to call my husband? I'd rather not talk about that. I don't want to focus on that. Just give me the water. Well, no, you can't have the water until you understand the need for the water. The woman answered and said, head bowed, a little bit ashamed. I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. Can I tell you, Jesus knows your sin better than you know your sin. He knows your past better than you know your past. And he still loves you. Amen. Amen. We're worried about other people finding out about our past because if they really knew who I was, if they knew what was going on inside me, nobody would like me. When it comes to God, he knows you better than you know yourself. Stop trying to cover it up. Jesus said to her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. Well, thou hast had, here it is, 5 husbands. Now you know why she didn't want to talk about it. And who whom thou hast is now, who now hast is not thy husband, and that sayest thou truly. He said, you gave up on getting married, now you're just living with the guy. That's what he's saying here. She's coming under conviction. She now sees herself as a sinner. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. She's not there yet. She has not received salvation as of yet, but she's a lot closer because now she knows who Jesus is and what he has to offer and what she has to do to receive it. And she sees herself now as a sinner. It's been recorded for all to read because this is the plan of salvation for everyone. God is no respecter of persons. Yeah. She would believe and receive salvation. So how do you know this? How do you know that she would, after this, receive salvation, believe and receive salvation. Well, the last part of it is because she would respond like all will once they truly believe. Once you come to that place and you realize, wow, Jesus is the only way for anyone to be saved, who he is. He's the only begotten Son of God. He paid my sin. I am a sinner in need of salvation. He told her who he was. Jesus saith unto her, verse 26, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman, yet no man said, why seekest thou or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot. She had other things on her mind. She understood it was not that water in the well that he was presenting. She understood it. And she was so excited about having it, she left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? When the light bulb came on and she understood what it was, and all she had to do was just believe and receive and ask Jesus Christ to come into her heart. Once she did that and she knew that she now had salvation, she had received the gift of everlasting life. She had this living water flowing inside of her, and she said, I want everybody to learn. I want everybody to know. I want everybody to receive what I have just received. And the truth of it is, everybody can. And he has made it so simple that even a child of the age of accountability can believe and receive. When I was 8 years old, a Sunday school teacher went into a third grade class. He preached on hell. I didn't understand it all, but I understood that the only way that I was going to escape hell's damnation, because I was a sinner, is receive that Savior that he talked about, Jesus Christ. I believe that he died for my sins. And he come after me in the Sunday school class. I was there in tears because I wanted to be saved, didn't know exactly how to do it. And he said, can I help you? And I said, I want to be saved. And he took the Bible, God's holy word, and opened it up and revealed to me what God said I needed to do to be saved. As an 8-year-old boy, 54 years ago, I asked Jesus into my heart. That was on a Sunday. I was still so excited by Monday morning going to a third grade secular school. I asked Mrs. Payne, I remember that teacher more than any other teacher. I said, Mrs. Payne, I said, I've got something to tell the class. And she says, what do you got? I said, I got saved yesterday. And I want all the whole class to hear about it. I want them all to know. I want them to receive what I just received. And she said, well, just settle down, sit down. And as soon as everybody gets here, I'll let you do that. After the prayer from the intercom, amen, in a public school 54 years ago, she said, class, before we get started here, Dan has something to say. And I stood up and said, I got saved yesterday, and all of you need to do it. It's easy. All you have to do is believe that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. He paid your sin debt on Calvary's cross, and all you have to do is believe and ask him to come into your heart. And if you'll do that, he'll save your soul. Yeah, that was the beginning of my preaching. I didn't realize it then, but that was the beginning of me being called into the ministry. When you get saved and you realize it's not a Jewish thing. It's not a white thing. It's not a black thing. It's not a red thing. It's not an American thing. It's not a French thing. It's not a whatever. It's a God thing. And we're all in the very same situation. We're all sinners in need of a Savior. God loved us enough to send his Son so that all could be saved. All you need to do is hear the truth. Once you hear the truth of your own free will, act upon it. I'm going to tell you, that's what faith promise is all about. once you have received Jesus as your Savior, get involved in helping all people around the world to do the same. John chapter 3, right before this, Jesus said this, verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. All people are born with a physical sin nature. Everyone in this auditorium, born of the flesh. However long ago, however old you are. For me, it's 62 years ago, I was born of the flesh. 8 years after that physical birth, I had a spiritual birth. I hold on to that. Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, look right here, ye must. God had a must list for the Lord Jesus Christ. And now God says, not only does Jesus had a must list that he must do as he come to fulfill my will, this is what you must do. Be born again. That's the very first thing on everyone's must list, is you must be born again. Can you go back to that point? Everyone here, you might not remember it, but you have a reminder in your driver's license. You know when you were born of the flesh. But can you remember? And you ought to be able to if you were when you were born of the Spirit. That is what you need to have everlasting life. Do you have it? If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. It's a must. It's a must. There's no way around it. There's no other way. It's a must. If you're going to have everlasting life, you must be born again. This morning, you have an opportunity. As Jesus helped this woman of Samaria to know who he is and what she needed to do to be saved, this testimony of this woman has been presented to you so that you know who Jesus is and what you must do to be saved. It's up to you now and your will. Will you be born again? Father, we bow before you. Love you, Lord. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for this illustration that you gave the woman at the well and how it's been recorded for us to know as well. I pray if there's anyone here that has any question whether or not they're saved or not, God, they would come to this altar and get it settled today. Let somebody take a Bible and share with them what they must do. I pray, God, I want all to be saved, especially those that would come through the doors of this church. God, what a tragedy it would be for anyone to walk out of the doors of this church and not know you and not know that they have everlasting life. Work in our midst now, blessing this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.